as it is said in the Vaishnava tradition, the divine is all the time in sport. He could have chosen a sport in which there is no hiding and seeking. It will be delightful, where everything is manifest, God is never veiled, and you are always present, everything is Rasleela, all the time. But that is not the only kind of delight He is capable of. There is another kind of delight, which comes by hiding and seeking. Another kind of delight. And if you want that kind of delight, which in itself is not wrong to have, that kind of delight, then in the process this suffering becomes inevitable. You are not denying suffering. You are not saying it is also part of joy. No. Suffering is suffering. But that kind of suffering is inevitable if you want that kind of delight. Now you may ask the question, why does divine want that kind of delight which comes through this suffering? The answer is the following. That even what you call suffering, even in the creature who is suffering, the inner delight is never abolished. The inner delight which is available to everybody is never abolished, is never extinguished. It is hidden, but never abolished. Not only that, but there is an inner joy which is present even in the suffering. Inner joy, not that explicit joy. The inner joy is always present, and that is why a person is able to bear the suffering. Why is it that human beings are able to worst kind of suffering? Or when the suffering becomes absolutely worst, he becomes fainted. Therefore there is no experience of suffering. All suffering, and this is very important, all suffering is sufferable. The argument could be leveled against God only if there was a suffering which is insufferable. Although we complain very often, oh, this suffering is unsufferable. But when it really becomes unsufferable, you faint. Then there is no suffering. This is the presence of the Divine. Divine does not want to give any kind of suffering which is really unsufferable. And that suffering which you experience does not abolish the inner delight. On the contrary, you are spurred to eliminate the suffering to such an extent that it can be ultimately been destroyed. So a destroyable, sufferable suffering is the real nature of suffering anyway. If this was not so, we cannot defend this world. We are saying that this suffering is of such a nature that while suffering, you have an inner joy. If you really go into the depths of your matter, you will really experience the inner joy which is never abolished. If this was, and secondly, even the suffering could not be if that joy was not manifesting in one way as suffering. This is a further point. Suffering itself is a current of joy. Suffering would not be suffering if it was not a current of joy. So joy is not abolished at all. On the contrary, that suffering itself is a current of joy. It is experienced by us as suffering, which is another matter, it's another kind of taste, you might say. The bitter taste is a taste. Similarly, this is a bitterness, but bitterness of ananda. Ananda is capable of manifesting itself as neutrality, as pleasure and as pain. From the point of ananda, all the three are pains, basically. Even what you call pleasure is actually deformation of that ananda. Neutrality is deformation of ananda. What we call pain is deformation of ananda. The very fact that what we call pleasure can be experienced as pain, which happens very often. That which is pleasure can be experienced as pain. That which is pain can be experienced as pleasure. They are transferable. That shows that these currents are not absolute currents. These currents are transferable from one to the other. And finally, they are not only transferable from one to the other, but they can be completely transformed into ananda. That would not be if suffering was absolute, or that suffering was really something that was permanent. As a temporary experience, in order to attain to that ananda which can be obtained only when you pass through this suffering, if such is the scheme of the world, then there is no contradiction between ananda and this suffering.
Is it every stage if I keep unconscious of my goal as ananda,
yes,
any suffering I can take in that?
That's right.
So it depends on my attitude at a particular point of suffering.
Very true. Not only attitude, but also because it is real, therefore it is so. Merely by taking attitude it will not happen, okay, if it was not really so. Ultimately, it is only because, really speaking, that joy can be transferred into pain and pain can be transferred into joy. Really speaking, as Sri Aurobindo says, when he was in Delhi for jail, one of the experiences he had was that red ants, poisonous ants, used to bite him in the jail because there was no protection. The ground was not cemented. So in the hot summer, he was arrested in the month of May. It was a hot summer. And these red ants used to sprawl upon his body and bite him tremendously. And then Sri Krishna said, I have brought you to this point because I want you to see how this pain can be transformed into ecstasy. So he experienced ecstasy with the bites of the poison ants. So this, it is a real fact. It is not as if attitude is taken, that, oh no, I can enjoy it. That is also good. But ultimately, it is because of the fact that this suffering can be really changed into ananda.
What would change in this case?
Sri Aurobindo says that all pain is jugupsa. Jugupsa means shrinking. Shrinking is because of limitation or slow development. You see, when a child wants to talk to you, the child first comes to you, runs away. Child is very shy. It's jugupsa. And in that experience, there is suffering. If the child really knew that there is no need to be a jugupsa at all, that mother is not going to scold me, mother is not going to do anything, and that I'll be welcomed fully, there is no problem. But because of my limitation, I shrink.